I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Patricia Crespin and Diana Padilla. Patricia is author of the new play, The Sad Room, which opens at Teatro Paraguas this Friday, the 23rd of May at 7:30 and continues through the weekend, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Now, Diana, you play the part of Maya, and Patricia, you actually play the other lead role of Magdalena, who are two lifelong friends, and the reason it's called The Sad Room is because the play takes place in a room where Magda's daughter died of a heroin overdose 5 years earlier, and Magda has barely left the house since then.
Correct.
Now, is this play inspired by real events or sort of the heroin epidemic of northern New Mexico?
I think a little bit of both. What started the whole thing was that I was watching the news one day, and a high school student from La Cueva had OD'd on heroin, and so the news was talking about how it was becoming an epidemic. And it occurred to me that it wasn't becoming an epidemic at all. It had been an epidemic for quite some time. And so I, you know, started thinking about, you know, kids in that situation and how it doesn't just affect kids in lower income neighborhoods. It affects kids, you know, throughout. And heroin has become something that is so accessible these days and so inexpensive that, you know, kids have really taken to it as an alternative to getting high. And plus, I had a personal experience where a family member of mine had OD'd on heroin. So the combination of everything, you know, the pain of a family member losing someone to that, and the misconception that it is just now becoming an epidemic,
right,
whereas it has been for a while, triggered the whole beginning of the play.
I think it's really important, and I think it's one of the things that's least talked about when people talk about drug use, is the whole question of why a young person is doing drugs. And it gets sort of brushed off in cliches like peer pressure. But especially here in northern New Mexico, there's so many really deep and important reasons that are, I think, under-discussed.
I agree. I think there's a lot of psychological issues, you know, underlying these addictions that the kids are going through. I think there's much more emotional stuff going on with them. You know, it of course you do have peer pressure. That's a given. You know, whether or not you choose to follow that pressure is, you know, depends on the kid. And so I think for the kids, especially here in northern New Mexico or in New Mexico, you know, it has a lot to do with what is going on at home, what's happening in their personal lives. You know, it's so much more than just, oh, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, or smoking pot, and then, oh, well, this isn't enough, let me try something else. You know, there's that whole stigma that marijuana leads to other things. I think there's a need for these kids to sort of find a numbness or an escape. Because there's underlying mental issues, which is, you know, one reason why Diana and I love working with her, because she's a professional mental health counselor, and so she's experienced, you know, these issues that these kids are going through, and so she's wonderful to talk to and help me understand, you know, where these kids are coming from. You know, it's been a long time since I've been that age, but I do know that, you know, when you're struggling with, you know, societal pressures in the family, you know, it can lead you to experiment and possibly, you know, you're taking self-medication and it's becoming an addiction and it's becoming an epidemic and a problem. And it's been going on for quite a few years.
And I think here in northern New Mexico especially, it's also generational.
As the play points out.
Right. Grandma does it, grandpa did it, mom did it. Older sisters, brothers did it. It just seems like it's the next thing to do in the whole family. It's a systemic thing. And so, you know, as it is portrayed in the play, my character as well as Magda, we both are self-medicating with addictive behaviors as well. And so you see the generational. And it's really out there and loud and big. Yes. And I think that's how she wrote it, was to really be big and out there to get the point across. And so I think that that's an important piece that we need to remember, is that it's also traditional almost. or generational.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as I think is very kind of skillfully pointed out in the play, the older generation doesn't necessarily realize what it's passing on.
Correct.
That's
correct. You have that whole idea of, well, I'm an adult, I can do what I want. But they don't, you know, understand that the kids are still watching and still learning by example. So, yeah, it's definitely generational. You know, these addictions have almost been passed on from generation to generation. And it's
the format of the play is you have Magda, who's been living in her dark, sad room and barely even opening the shades. And one day, the ghost of her daughter shows up. And so we have a lovely 16-year-old actress playing this daughter in the play. What is her name?
Her name is Alex Anglis. And she does a fantastic job. She really took the bull by the horns and does the character with wonderful passion and fervor. It's wonderful to watch.
And only her mother can see her, and then
correct.
There's this kind of conflict that comes up between them, and they have a lot of the conversations that maybe they should have had when she was still alive and things like that. But one of the things that I thought was powerful and really important is that in addition to all the things that you've been talking about, there's also the class dimension of what is my identity, and if I decide to go a different direction than following what my peers are doing, then I'll be a coconut
right.
Brown on the outside, white on the inside, which
right.
is a term that I've heard people in other from like India using that term as well.
Right.
And it points so strongly to the issues of cultural loss that are so prevalent and yet, again, not sufficiently talked about here in northern New Mexico.
Right, absolutely.
I feel like it's almost like it's almost like it's just ingrained in us, like it's a part of our tradition, like I said earlier, that it's just the next thing in life that you do. It's like part of growing up. It's like when you become a man, you're going to try that. You're going to smoke pot with your dad. That's, you know, that's like this ceremony or ritual. And what our elders don't understand is that, yes, it can be that you did it and you're okay and you succeeded in life and that's good. But for a lot of our kids, that isn't what's happening. You have a lot of kids, they're dying of overdose of all kinds of things. There's so many new drugs out on the streets that, you know, I think that me and her are even still learning about. While I think she was writing this, I'm sure she was researching and mm-hmm. seeing there's just so much out there. And so if your parents, I believe, are saying, oh, it's okay, then they're going to think, well, it's okay to try this too then, as long as I can keep my head above ground. And they think they can because they're young and they don't understand that mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to control it. They don't have the cognitive ability really to, their brain isn't as developed as mine is as an adult. And maybe my dad's, let's say my dad was a drug user, maybe he could have been better. He could have even went further in life had he not, you know, if just per se
experimented or
you know
right.
And so I do love how you, like you said, the conversation comes up when it's too late. And I feel like I would hope that anybody who sees this can go home and really talk to their families and their children and say, you know, where are we at in this area? Because it's a lot of kids are doing it. And it's out there, and it's, like you said, peer pressure, which is the cliche thing, but it's out there. Where are they getting it? Parties. Where do they learn about it? Parties. And are our parents...
And in school as well.
Yes. And we also live in a time, I think, where you don't have a mom at home like we used to, and so there's less supervision in the home. A lot of times kids are getting out of school at 3, they have nothing to do from 3 to 6 when mom gets home. They're bored. They're like, let's see what we can find and figure out and what we can do. And so I think that I would hope that what everybody takes from this play is it's a conversation starter
yeah.
to talk to your
absolutely.
Kids, your family. Even if you have nieces and nephews, you don't have your own kid, let's just talk about it and know that it's dangerous and it can cause death.
I mean, the other thing is when you because you can put this all into dialogue because right. you're writing a play. And so the conversations you have and the fights you have in real life can be kind of expressed through this medium. And you've got this girl saying, well, I don't want to be one of those haughty, snotty people mm-hmm. who... And so then it's like, well, if I'm not going to do this, who am I going to be?
Right, exactly.
And that's a really huge and important question for us all to be discussing.
Right, right. You know, you grow up in this, you know, lower income sort of environment. And, you know, there's a stigma that, you know, kids that grow up in environments like that are sort of become victims of their environment, which is not always the case. I mean, you always have those special circumstances where, you know, you have some kids who are incredibly determined to make something of themselves, to really, you know, get themselves out of the barrio or their low socioeconomical environment. But a lot of kids are sort of trapped in that and feel that it is their lot in life to sort of follow these patterns. You know, in the play, one of the things that I worry about is that I'm giving a message that it only occurs in the barrio. But I think, you know, I've discussed this with a lot of people, you know, the Paris Hilton effect, where it isn't just an issue in the barrio, and it is an issue in other, you know, upper economic areas, you know, and it's the same kind of situation. The kids are bored, they don't have the supervision, and they want to play, they want to experiment. And at that age, you know, a lot of kids think that they're invincible, and so they start trying these new things, and it, you know, it becomes an issue about the conversation. You know, just being able to say, look, and sit down with your child and say, we need to talk about this, we need to discuss why this is bad. It's not, I'm not telling you not to do drugs and not to do what I do because it's bad. I'm telling you because I love you and because it will save your life, hopefully. So that is a big thing that's lacking. And I'm glad that you saw that by reading the play. You know, the conversations they had, unfortunately, happened too late.
Right.
And they should have been having them way before Santana even. But, you know, the mother was too involved in her own, Magda was too involved in her own thing to realize.
Now, your character, Diana, Maya, is a real firecracker. It must be fun to play her.
Oh, it is. It's really fun to play her. She's very different than I think I am in reality, so it's been fun to play her. Something about her, I think, that really stands out is that she's self-medicating, and she's been self-medicating all her life.
And she's very gifted.
Yes. She does have a talent, and she could, I think, had she had somebody steer her in the right direction. So that's going back to what Patricia said earlier about, you know, Paris Hilton and those kind of people. It's a drug problem for all our youth, but if you're up there in the socioeconomically, you're up there, you're going to have more resources. And
yes,
so
yes.
That's once again goes back to the education. If we can educate our kids that are in lower income areas and get our parents to talk about it and that it's not a sore subject, it's something important, I think that's really good. And so Maya is wonderful to play. It's really fun. Maya needs therapy.
She really does.
said the therapist.
Right. Yes, right.
Yeah,
well, the play is called The Sad Room, and it opens this Friday at Teatro Paraguas. It's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. Patricia Crespin is the playwright. Diana Padilla is the actress playing Maya, a couple of other characters as well. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.